What if I told you that most of the frustration in your life comes from asking the wrong questions, not getting the wrong answers, asking the wrong questions in the first place? Think about the last time something went wrong at work or home. What was your first reaction? If you're like most people, you probably thought, "Who messed this up?" or "Why is this happening to me?" These questions feel natural, even justified, but they're also completely useless. They don't solve problems, they create victims. Since its publication, QBQ, The Question Behind the Question, has sold over 1 million copies and transformed countless organizations, not through complex theories or elaborate systems, but through one elegantly simple insight. The quality of our questions determines the quality of our lives. When we learn to ask better questions, everything changes. Walk into any workplace and you'll hear the same refrains. Not my department. That's not my job. There's nothing I can do. These phrases have become so common, we barely notice them anymore. But they reveal something troubling, a widespread erosion of personal responsibility that's quietly poisoning our ability to solve problems and move forward. Consider the gas station attendant who shrugs when asked about coffee, the flight attendant who blames catering for missing headsets, the customer service rep who hides behind policy. Each deflection seems minor in isolation, but together, they form a pattern that's costing us dearly. This blame-first mentality manifests in predictable questions. When will that department finally get it together? Who dropped the ball? These questions keep us circling problems without moving toward solutions. Nothing improves until people stop pointing fingers and start asking better questions. Organizations where people take ownership consistently outperform those where blame is the default mode. Personal accountability isn't about accepting blame for everything. It's about recognizing we always have choices about how we respond. After moving to Denver, I discovered goat heads, vicious thorns that puncture bicycle tires. These physical thorns mirror our mental lives, destructive thought patterns that puncture our potential. Choose the wrong thought, and we fall into blame and victim thinking. Choose the right thought, and we experience fulfillment and accomplishment. Here's the fundamental truth. We are always accountable for our choices, even when we tell ourselves otherwise. When we say, "I have to work late," or "I can't make the meeting," we're denying our agency. The reality? We're choosing to work late based on priorities. We're choosing not to attend because something else matters more. Even deciding not to choose is itself a choice. During a busy lunch rush, server Jacob learned they didn't have a customer's requested Diet Coke, only Diet Pepsi. Rather than offering alternatives or moving on, Jacob asked his manager to purchase a Diet Coke from a nearby store. Minutes later, the customer had exactly what he wanted. Most people facing constraints ask, "Why do I have to do everything?" Jacob chose differently. What can I do to solve this problem right now? He was soon promoted to management. The ripple effects of personal accountability extend everywhere. Customers receive better service, coworkers enjoy more supportive relationships, organizations become more efficient. Most importantly, the person practicing accountability experiences greater fulfillment and success. Jacob didn't just solve a problem, he did it with enthusiasm that transformed a minor disappointment into a memorable experience, proving that accountability isn't about perfect circumstances or unlimited resources. It's about choosing to focus our energy on what we can influence rather than wasting it on what we cannot. The question behind the question, QBQ, replaces negative reactions with solution-focused thinking. Our initial responses to challenges typically produce incorrect questions, those that blame others, justify inaction, or cast us as victims. The QBQ method reveals better questions that lead to solutions rather than excuses. Creating a QBQ follows three simple guidelines. First, begin with what or how, not why, when, or who. Second, contain an I, not they, we, or you. Third, focus on action. For example, "What can I do to solve this problem?" follows all three guidelines perfectly, while "Why don't they communicate better?" violates each one. The QBQ eliminates victim thinking by focusing on what we control. prevents procrastination through immediate action, stops blame by directing attention to our contributions, and builds ownership by personalizing responsibility. Some resist the QBQ, believing it unfairly places all responsibility on the individual, even when others clearly erred. This misunderstands its purpose. The QBQ isn't about assigning blame, even to ourselves. When we ask, "What can I do now?" we're not accepting fault for the problem. We're choosing to be part of the solution, regardless of how we arrived here. Questions like, "Why is this happening to me?" or "Why don't others work harder?" create powerlessness and victim thinking, a mindset that paralyzes action. A manager who joked that only about half his people actually worked was embracing victim thinking, positioning himself as helpless rather than asking what he could do differently as a leader. Consider stress. Many blame external factors, like management decisions, difficult colleagues, or heavy traffic. But stress is ultimately a choice. Different people react differently to identical situations because they choose different responses. When Stacy and her father faced engine failure in their small plane over Lake Michigan, her father didn't ask, "Why is this happening?" Instead, he calmly said, "I'm going to need to fly the plane differently." After putting the plane into a controlled dive twice to restart the engine, they landed safely. Had he wallowed in "why me" thinking, the outcome might have been tragic. Questions like "when will they fix this?" or "who made this mistake?" fuel procrastination and blame, two organizational destroyers. Procrastination compounds over time, turning small issues into crises. I learned this when I left a large glass sheet leaning against my basketball hoop, repeatedly thinking, "I'll do it later." When we returned from dinner, my 9-year-old son Michael ran into it, shattering the glass and falling onto deadly shards. Miraculously uninjured, Michael's accident happened because I knew what needed doing but kept delaying. The QBQ approach replaces "when" questions with action. Instead of "when will we get better systems?" ask, "how can I achieve with existing resources?" True creativity isn't thinking outside the box, it's succeeding within it. Blame is equally destructive. The company coat of arms, arms crossed, fingers pointing outward, depicts daily workplace reality. Marketing blames sales, sales blames engineering, engineering blames management. Personal accountability breaks this cycle with, "what can I do today to solve the problem?" My father, Cornell's wrestling coach, taught me I had three people to beat: my opponent, myself, and the referee. Even if you lose on questionable calls, he'd say, you cannot blame the person in black and white. After multiple failed attempts to fix static on my phone line, a third repairman arrived. Rather than blaming his colleagues, he simply said, "Mr. Miller, I can't explain it, but I sure can apologize for it and see what I can do to solve your problem." This is true ownership, not requiring an equity stake or leadership position, but facing problems head-on without blame or excuses. Accountability is personal. Two myths exist: that it's about holding others accountable or that it's a team thing. While teams matter, they're built on individuals practicing personal accountability. Without individuals asking, "what can I do?" everyone just asks, "what can we do?" and nothing changes. Who is the only person I can change? Myself. A Jostens manager struggled with a difficult employee who later transferred across the country. Years later, they worked together again, but this time successfully. She initially wondered when he had changed, then realized he hadn't, she had. Her powerful response: "I stopped trying to change him." Personal accountability requires three steps: disciplining our thoughts, asking better questions, and taking action. When a customer with only a $100 bill needed to pay for a small purchase, new cashier Judy made a bold choice. She paid the $2.89 from her own purse and let him keep his $100 bill. The grateful customer's father was a major contractor who subsequently sourced all supplies from Home Depot. While driving with my family, we spotted a man in a wheelchair desperately trying to gather newspapers scattered across a field in the Denver wind. We stopped to help, and when I asked why he was attempting this seemingly impossible task alone, he replied simply, "I couldn't just leave them. It was my mess." This powerful image perfectly illustrates the QBQ philosophy, taking ownership not because someone's watching or because it's convenient, but because it's the right thing to do. That's how personal accountability changes the world, one choice at a time, one question at a time, one person at a time.